Our gospel lesson for this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. And out of reverence for the gospel, I'd ask you to stand for the reading. Hear now the word of God. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone he was the Messiah. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Questions are an important part of who we are as people. When we're children, we ask a lot of questions, don't we? How many parents here get tired sometime of your children asking so many questions? Questions help our children learn and explore new things. And as we grow, our questions change, and they help us understand not just the world in which we live, but also ourselves and the things that we struggle with in life. Charles Thompson, in a book called What a Great Idea, tells the story of a question that the president of Corning Glassworks once asked. This one question was an exceedingly profitable question for the company. The question was addressed to Corning's head of research. The president of the company noted that glass breaks. And he looked at his engineer and he said, "Why don't you do something about that?" And the simple question led to lab tests. And they've devoted themselves to the singular task of, "We're going to try to create glass that we can prevent from breaking." And in the end, Corning's now famous Corel line of dinnerware came to being. I bought a set of Corel dinnerware when I moved into my first apartment, and I still have several of those pieces today. Great leaders, Thompson says in his book, ask great questions. Jesus and his disciples are in the region of Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus looks at his disciples and he asks them a very good question, a very important question. And that question is, "Who do people say that I am?" Now, I say that's a great question because this is really a defining question in life. What is it that you believe about Jesus? Think about that for a moment. To a certain extent, this question will determine what your values are, how your attitudes come across, your general orientation toward life. If you believe Jesus was simply just a great teacher, then maybe that would identify who you were. Or maybe you thought that Jesus was just a really cool historical figure. But if you believe that Jesus says that he is the Son of God, if you truly believe that, then how are you going to live your life? How are you going to be the person that God wants you to be? It's fascinating the things that the disciples said they had heard about Jesus. One of them was said, they said, well, some say that you're John the Baptist. Well, at this point, John the Baptist was dead. And so there were people who thought that Jesus was John the Baptist come back to life. And in Mark 6, it talks about that. John the Baptist had been killed. And word had gotten to Herod, who's the one who killed John the Baptist, and that Jesus was going around and he was teaching and healing and doing all these wonderful things, and Herod was worried that maybe John the Baptist had come back. And for Herod, that was a real problem. Why in the world would people think that Jesus was John the Baptist returned from the grave? Well, there was a family resemblance. Remember, they were cousins. And they may have kind of looked alike. Perhaps they had some kind of family resemblance. So when people who had known John saw Jesus, they said, whoa, there's John. That may sound a little bit far-fetched, but it was a possibility. Whatever the explanation, the disciples said that some of the people were saying that Jesus was John the Baptist. The other things that were suggested was Elijah, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. For centuries, the Jews had believed that Elijah would return before the advent of the Messianic age. So when Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God, it seemed logical that that Elijah was now in their midst. Jeremiah was also one of those pre-messianic prophesiers. And that's why he was probably part of the conversation. People were wrong in what they were saying about Jesus. We all know that. But the thing that we need to remember is that Jesus had captured their attention and they were listening and following him. Jesus then goes in for the kill, okay? He goes in, he zeroes in to this particular question. And he looks at his disciples and he asks them, but what about you? Who do you think that I am? That's the real question that matters, isn't it? Who is Jesus to you? What do you believe about Jesus? Well, it was, of course, Simon Peter who answered Christ's question. Simon Peter was good about just blurting out things. But in this case, he got it right. He said exactly what Jesus was aiming for. And that was, he said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, think with me a little bit. If you had been there, what would you have said? I honestly don't know what I would have said. I may have been one of those with the John the Baptist crowd. But it is important, and I cannot say that enough, that we know who Jesus is for us. Because that determines how we live our lives. There are many people out there who say that they are Christians, who say that they are followers of Jesus Christ, but their lives don't reflect that belief at all. That is, many people will state matter-of-factly that Jesus is the Son of God, but the way that they live their lives says something completely different. doesn't it? God really plays no part in their lives or how they make their decisions. And remarkably, we find these people as part of the church today. They mouth the creed every week. They sing the hymns. They might even read scripture from time to time. But when they read scripture, the words of the Lord are no more to them than mere words of advice, which they may accept or reject as their own selfish desires dictate. They may kneel beside their beds at night, but their prayers are nothing more than solicitations for God to do their bidding. Heal my body. Take care of my children. Help my stocks grow. Amen. They never examine their souls. Their prayer is not that they be conformed to God's will, but that God's will be conformed to theirs. They will never sweat great drops of blood as Jesus did in Gethsemane, praying, "Not my will, but thy will be done," because it has never occurred to them that there could be a difference between God or God's will and their own. Now, am I being overly harsh about this? Or am I being honest in how some people conduct their lives? In 2013, the Oxford English Dictionary named the word selfie, S-E-L-F-I-E, as the word of the year. That was 4 years ago now. And they did that because the word was tremendously growing in its usage. We all know what a selfie is, right? You do, don't you? For anyone who doesn't know, it's a picture that you take of yourself and then you upload it to some social media. We have become a society of people who stand around and take pictures of ourselves all the time. What a perfect metaphor for us as Christians sometimes. So what does it mean to say that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God? What does it mean to say that Jesus Christ is Lord? It means that we bow down before Christ, not ourselves. That we don't put ourselves first in everything. It means that the most important determinant in how we live our lives is our faith in Christ. It is Christ to whom we ask for daily guidance, not our own desires or the desires of those about us. To say that Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives is to acknowledge that we have become a part of Christ's family. We have become a part of Christ's family. And that makes all the difference in how we live. Dr. Craig Barnes, he was the president at Princeton Theological Seminary. He told a story about when he was a boy. One day his dad, who was a minister, brought home a 12-year-old boy named Roger. Roger's parents had died from a drug overdose. And there was no one to care for Roger. So this guy's parents decided to raise him just as if he were one of his own sons. And at first, it was quite difficult for Roger to adjust into this new home. For the first time, he was in an environment free of heroin-addicted adults. Every day, several times a day. Barnes heard his parents saying to Roger such things as, "No, no, that's not how we behave in this family. No, no, you don't have to scream or fight or hurt other people to get what you want. No, no, Roger, we expect you to show respect in this family." And in time, Roger began to change. Now, asked Dr. Craig Barnes, did Roger have to make all those changes in order to become a part of the family? No. He became a part of the family simply because this father's grace was given to him as a gift. But did he have to do a lot of hard work because he was in the family? You better believe he did. It was tough for Roger to change, and he had to work at it. But he was motivated by the gratitude of this incredible gift of love that he had been given in this man. And Dr. Barnes then asked this question: do you have a lot of hard work to do now that the Spirit has adopted you into God's family? Certainly, that would be yes. Not to become a son or a daughter of Christ or of the Heavenly Father. No, you can make those changes because you are the son and daughter of God. And every time you start to revert to those old addictions to sin, the Holy Spirit is saying to you, "No, no, that's not how we act in this family." Do you hear what he's saying this morning? Ask yourself whether it is making any real difference in your life that you are a part of the family of God. Does it make you more loving, more tolerant, more disciplined, more moral, more purposeful? If you can't answer yes to those questions, then the question has to be asked, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? It's not easy. It takes a conscious act of will to say, from this day forward, by the grace of God, I'm going to live as the person Jesus Christ called me to be. It's not easy, but it is the surest way of finding peace in your life. There's a story about a pilot in Ecuador who worked with Wycliffe Bible translators who was in a plane crash. And in that crash, the crash could have been avoided, because the pilot was flying this particular plane, and he knew how to fly it. He knew what it would take to get that plane up in the air and not in the trees. But one day, he was making the flight, and he had a passenger with him who was an American, and the American caused them to have a crash, because he was afraid and panicked. The passenger had been visiting the Indians and had never taken off on a jungle airstrip. And looking up, all he could see coming before him very quickly were a line of trees. And he kept wondering, why does the pilot not pull back on the controls? Why is he flying toward these trees? And he reached over and he grabbed the control from the pilot and pulled back. The pilot knew that that was dangerous and that they would not make it. Because if you started taking the plane up too quickly, then the engines would stall out and you would crash. And that is exactly what happened. They were not killed, but they were injured. And the pilot was the one who suffered the worst injuries. This particular pilot said, "It's hard to keep our hands off the controls. We want to be in control. We want to be in charge. We know what's best for us." But in reality, it's Christ. We have to give Christ the control so that we can have that abundant life that we so desperately want. So who this morning do you say that Christ is? Don't answer off the top of your head this morning. Look deep into your heart and into your soul. Is Jesus your Messiah? Is he the Son of the living God in your life? Is he the Lord of who you are? If he is, and if you truly believe it, then your life is going to be different. Claim it. And let it fill you with joy and peace and all those fruits of the Spirit that Paul lists out. Because that is what Christ wants for us. That is what he wanted for his disciples. Even though they were going through a terrible, difficult time, they could know the peace of Christ. May it be so in my life and in yours. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, holy God, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And as we look at him, and as we are led by him, and as we study and pray about to him and about him, Lord, may we always be remembered that he is the Lord of our lives. And that if we truly believe that, our lives will be filled with his grace, and we will know the peace and the abundance that comes from loving God. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.